Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. These shocking words in John chapter 14 make clear that without Jesus, there is no way to have eternal life. Today, clarifying the relationships among the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we continue an 8-part series on the mysteries of God. Now join us as we learn more about the triunity of God.
So if you're listening to this today and you are investigating Christianity, understand more about Jesus, understand his beauty, understand who he is and what he did. You say, well, you know, that's a very narrow view that you only get to God through Jesus. Of course it's narrow, but it's open to everyone. Doesn't matter what religion you belong to, doesn't matter what spectrum you are on in terms of your past life, it is open to everyone. So while it is narrow, it is narrow for a good reason, but it is open to all who humble themselves and receive him. And by the way, what does the text say? John 1:12. For as many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name. Amazing promise. Third, it's very important to realize that those who believe in the Son, those who believe in the Son are invited to participate in the relationship of the Trinity. They are invited to participate and enjoy the relationship of the Trinity. And now at last we do come to John 17. Now this is the prayer of Jesus to the Father, and he is praying to the Father, and it opens the door to an understanding of the Trinity, the likes of which is just incredible. No wonder John 17 is one of the favorite chapters of many Christians. You have many favorite chapters, but this certainly is one of them. Notice what Jesus says in chapter 17, verse 20. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be made one in us, that the world may know and believe that you've sent me. Jesus is saying the relationship that exists between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and they never have an argument, is the relationship that should exist among us as believers. Well, if you know anything about living with believers, you know that we're a long way from that, but that's the ideal. That's why racism is such a sin, is because of the unity into which Jesus Christ brings us, is a unity of fellowship, is a unity of oneness, and such distinctions are sinful. Well, you know, to live above with the saints I love, oh, that'll be glory. But to live below with the saints I know, that's another story, right? But that's the ideal. So he prays that we may be one, and then this blows you away, but this is in God's word, verse 22. The glory that you've given me, I've given to them. And we say, wait a moment. The Old Testament says that God says, I will not share my glory with another. Well, look at the text. Always keep your finger on the text. The Father gives the Son glory. But it is now the Son's prerogative to give that glory to us. I'm just reading the text. The glory that you have given them, given me, I'm giving to them. So, you deserve that? I don't. Can't speak on your behalf, but I think your wife would be glad to. The glory that you've given me, I've given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me. The world should look at us and say, why do those folks love each other so much? And why do they love beyond the church and love others? That's what the world should be saying. Unfortunately, that's not often, or at least not all the time, the world sees that. But that's the prayer of Jesus. And then you get to love. I'm in the last part of verse 23. You have loved them even as you have loved me. Really? The Son is the beloved Son in whom the Father is well pleased and has been well pleased with him from out of all of eternity. And Jesus said, the same love, actually, you love them the same way. You say, oh, I sure don't feel that love. Your feelings are lying to you if you're a believer. That means, and then if you wonder, well, how did the Father love the Son? Well, now I'm in last part of verse 24. You have loved me from before the foundation of the world. So how long ago did God love you, dear believer? From before the foundation of the world. If you've been following this series of messages, you know that when I spoke on the decrees of God last time, you were in God's mind for as long as God existed. And what this means is God doesn't play games with us and say, well, you know, I love him today because he had a warm time in his devotions, but, you know, he didn't, and now I don't love him so much because look at sin in his life, and my love, you know, kind of depends on his response. No, the love depends on the fact that Jesus paid it all. We are seen as being in him, and therefore he can say, I loved you from before the foundation of the world. All of that. You know, the Bible says that we inherit all things. Jesus inherits all things. All right? That's a pretty good inheritance, wouldn't you say, Larry? To inherit all things? Beautiful. We could sign up for that. Romans chapter 8. He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? If Jesus died for you to redeem you, why is he going to withhold anything else in eternity to come? Fact is, he won't. And so you and I get to enjoy the relationship of the Trinity. And of course, we enjoy it so imperfectly now. But the day is coming when we will understand that this prayer will be fully and totally answered. You'll notice what Jesus ends by praying. He says, O righteous Father, in verse 25, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I've made known to them your name and will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. The passage actually I wanted to emphasize is where Jesus said here, I desire that they be with me. It's verse 24. That they whom you have given me may be with me where I am, that they may behold your glory. Heaven isn't the golden streets. It isn't the magnificent stream where God is going to have his throne. It isn't even so much us meeting each other up there, though the Bible invites us to be excited about the fact that we're going to be reunited with those who have gone before. Ultimately, heaven is that we are with him and with him through all eternity. Amen. I heard hallelujah out there. Could we give God a hand, please? Paul Gibson was, I think, the president of Cambridge at one time, and they commissioned that a painting of him be made. And when it was unveiled, he said something that was a tremendous compliment to the artist. He said, when people look at this painting, they aren't going to ask the question, who is it that is painted? They're going to look at that and they're going to say, who was that painter? Throughout all of eternity, the angels in heaven and anyone else who happens to be looking on is not going to say, wow, who are those redeemed people? No. They are going to say, who is their redeemer? that they should be so exalted. And so if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, if you don't call God Father, come to Him through Jesus. Admit your sinfulness. And the Spirit of God within you will bubble up, as it were, figuratively speaking. And you'll call Him Father. What a blessed thing to call our God. Well, I don't think I can do any better in this message, which I'm going to end in a moment by quoting 2 Corinthians chapter... I'm seeing it in my mind's eye now, chapter 13, verse 14. People ask, do you have a photographic memory? I must, because it's always working in the dark. But I'm seeing it now in my Bible. It says this: the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. What a blessed way to end a letter. The Trinity right there. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, may it be with you. Let's pray. Now, Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit would enliven our worship. Help us to know that you are entirely worthy of all of our worship. And for those who have never believed on Jesus, we pray, Lord, that they might. May they see him. May they see him as the way to the Father, the only way to the Father. We thank you that he has loved us from all of eternity, and we thank you that we shall someday see the fulfillment of his prayers, that we shall be with him where he is forever. We ask now, Lord, that there may be those who are believing on Christ right now, reaching out and saying, I can't call God Father, but I want to. I will dare to call him my Father. Because I've received his Son. We can't do that, Lord. That's up to your Spirit and the work that you do in people's hearts. For those whose hearts are prompted, cause them to believe. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and as I think about what was just presented from the Word of God, the benediction that I just read, I'm reminded of the fact that we are, above all people, blessed. Imagine this, the Trinity is for us, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and we are a part of that Trinity in the sense that we are made one through the Spirit. And I want to encourage you today that that oneness should exhibit itself in so many different ways as we are reminded of the fact that we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. If only we could grasp it, I think that we would find the transforming power of God's holy word and the word of God sown in our heart, bearing marvelous, glorious fruit.
Jesus said, "There is no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friends." When Jesus paid the price for our sins, a great mystery was laid bare. Next time, join us for The Death of God. The Mysteries of God can be yours on CD. All 8 messages will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.